The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, and now in its 31st year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the snowman himself, David Snow.
Here's a doctor talking to his patient. He says, as an oral surgeon, I'm constantly asked to improve smiles. And the best way to do that is by saying, your insurance covers all of this. Oh, yes, that'll make you smile. Good morning and welcome once again to the Healthiest Hour on Radio. Here, where we hope to make you smile, because you don't need insurance for this audio doctor's appointment. Doesn't cost anything, and you don't have to uncover any of yourself, if you know what I mean. Like you sometimes have to do in the doctor's office. Just bend over and listen, so you can get closer to the radio speakers, of course, for the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness here on Dr. Health Radio. And I am your happy, humble health stylist host, David Snow, here to keep you cool and healthy, and we appreciate you making us a part of your weekend, which we always hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today on the show, emergency physician Dr. Jay Baruch joins us. He's the author of the new book, Tornado of Life, A Doctor's Journey Through the Constraints and Creativity in the ER. Just how accurate are those ER shows on TV? We'll ask Dr. Baruch about that. He's a professor of emergency medicine at Brown University's Albert Medical School and also a practicing emergency room physician. And we're going to talk all about anything having to do with emergency medicine. Hopefully, you'll never have to go to the ER, but sooner or later, a lot of people do. So we'll tell you how to make your visit to that particular room in the hospital as event-free as possible. I mean, it's a traumatic event when you have to go to the ER, but we'll help you minimize some of the downsides that that are all too common in the ER, like the waiting. You think you have to wait a long time for a regular doctor's appointment. Try going to an ER and the uncertainty of everything. You know, you never know what the diagnosis is going to be and the doctor you're going to get, and then we'll talk about the other side of the coin on the professionals or the doctor's side, the burnout factor, what patients can do to be a little friendlier to their physicians, and so a lot of information in this hour's show on emergency medicine and much more, medicine in general, so we are proceeding now with some news you can use, as well as our regular weekly features. Now, you've heard about the facts of life, but what about the facts of light? This is some interesting facts about light, namely sunlight. Back in 1894, after studying sailor's skin, Paul Unna, a doctor in Germany, reports a link between sun exposure and skin cancer. That was the first relationship from a researcher or a doctor. 1936, French chemist Eugene Schuller, the founder of L'Oreal Cosmetics, invents a sunscreen called Amber Solaire back in the 1930s. 1940s, the U.S. Army provides soldiers with Red Vet Pet. What the health is that? Well, it was a sunscreen made of, believe it or not, veterinary petroleum jelly, although it was sticky and it stained the fabrics of the army men. 1943, during World War II, an absorber of UVB rays, PABA, it's a pseudo B vitamin, is patented. It's taken out of many sunscreens, though, by the 1980s because it's linked to allergic reactions. No toxicity, but allergy, yes. So you don't see it much in sunscreens anymore. All right, and then in 1971, Malibu Barbie, for you doll aficionados, debuts complete with a golden tan, beach towel, and friends with suntan skin. That makes them look great, according to the TV commercials. She is later rescued and or reissued, rather, in 2002 with a toy bottle of sunscreen for you Barbie doll fans out there. 1974, ever wonder where the term SPF comes from on your sunscreen bottle? Well, Franz Greeter, an Austrian scientist, coins the term SPF, or sun protection factor, to refer to calculations that predict how long it takes the skin to get a sunburn with sunscreen versus without. Then in 1978, the United States opens its first indoor tanning facility with equipment developed by German scientist Friedrich Wolf, who admired athletes' tans. That's how that came about, the tanning salons. Let's see, fast forward to a couple years later, 1980, Coppertone launches Shade for sunscreen in the United States with a broad-spectrum UVA and UVB protection. Then in 1984, dermatologist Albert Kligman reports that tretinoin, or retin A, a derivative of vitamin A, cream, repairs sun-damaged skin. A couple other notes on the facts of light, namely sunlight. 1994, the 41-year-old Miss Little Miss Coppertone covers up with a T-shirt and a hat and is shown with paler skin, if you recall the earlier depictions of the cartoon character or caricature of Miss Coppertone. She was bare bunned, to put it lightly. Okay. And then in 2010, daily use of sunscreen reduces the risk of melanoma by 50%, according to an Australian study. And then, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead there. 2008, as Vice Presidential nominee Sarah Palin runs for office with John McCain, a skin cancer survivor, it's reported that she'd kept a tanning bed in her governor's mansion. And then finally, 2009 and 2010 report that tanning beds are in the highest category of cancer risks, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And so the sun is both our friend and our foe. Gives us vitamin D, but can also give us skin cancer. But I might add that even though skin cancer is the most common cancer, it's also the most treatable and the most benign, or, well, the less of the serious of the 100 or so kinds of cancer, even though you can die from it. But, compared to other cancers, not as bad. All right, let's go to the fitness file. All right, let's get physical for just a minute. At 82, golf legend Lee Trevino was asked how he stays physically active. He's still very active in his 80s. He says that suppleness is number one. You have to be able to bend down and touch your toes, he says. Lee also says you have to stretch, ride a bike a little bit, lift some light dumbbells. Also, this is funny. He says, I don't have a lazy boy in the house, the lazy boy in recliner chairs, which is good because I would sit in the damn thing and never move, according to Lee Trevino, which is what many of you do. You know, you plop down in that chair and it's aptly named, by the way. You hardly move from it except to get up and drink some high caloric beverages and eat some snack foods in front of the TV. Ah, the memories of my recliner. And I go way back. You get my drift there. My health tip of the week for fitness. The more you recline, the less inclined you are to be active. So you can postpone your physical decline by declining the recline. All right. Don't sit as much as you are active. All right, elsewhere in fitness news, and let's see, we only have a few minutes left here. Should you go from pills to paths? Well, potentially. This is interesting. Getting outside with the sunshine, fresh air, and all the things that, you know, the sensory stimulation that you get from outdoors, it can boost your mood. A neuroscientific study by the Max Planck Institute for Human Development showed that, and this is the result of more than 280 magnetic resonance imaging brain scans on test subjects. Over a six-month period, they found that being outdoors improves your actual brain structure, particularly the parts related to planning and regulation of actions, as well as cognitive control. And they say it can help mental disorders as well as other, mental non-physical conditions. And they say prescribing a walk in the park as part of treatment, more so than or just as much as medications. So exercise is medicine. Always remember that. And last article in Fitness News, in a 12-week program, you want to dive into this research. Subjects who completed a 60-minute swim session three times a week showed a statistically significant difference in physical strength when evaluating cardiovascular endurance and flexibility versus the group who stayed dry. So get wet and get active. All right, let's see elsewhere in the news. Where is... All right, I'm just thumbing through my papers here. Somewhere we have the Funny Bone Pharmacy. Okay, here we go. I got it. All right, here's a husband talking to his wife. He says, my doctor said I need more salt, sugar, and grease in my diet. I don't think he's a very good doctor, but I like him. No, that's not the kind of doctor you want to go to. And here's another woman talking to the new mother of a baby. And she says, when I grow up, I want to be an obstetrician. The OB stands for, oh, baby. All right. And the lessons learned from patients. This is from nurses. Your prostate and your thyroid are very, very different. Make sure you don't confuse the two when asking for an exam. That's so true. Yeah, don't confuse the podiatrist with the urologist. Let's see. Super glue is not an ideal wound suture solution. Duct tape is worse. And do not use wood glue to secure your dentures. Those are some lessons learned from patients. And, you know, sometimes comedians can give valuable medical advice. Here's one example from comedian Dave Barry. He says, never under any circumstances take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. I think that's pretty good medical advice. And a couple other funnies for you. A patient asks, what is the death rate at this hospital? It's a good question. Nurse replies, same as everywhere else, one per person. All right. So much for the smart-ass nurses. And finally, our quote of the week, age is a very high price to pay for maturity. That's from playwright Tom Stoppard. All right. We have time. Let's see, less than a minute for another article here. So let me find a short one to share with you. And by the way, Dr. Jay Baruch is coming up in just a minute or so, talking about emergency medicine. If you're tuning in late, that's our focus of discussion, the ER. What really happens in the ER, and in case you have to go to that particular branch of the hospital or room, what to do in that particular situation, some of the things to avoid and some of the things to be aware of and be cognizant of. All right, well, we will be back with much more information for your good health here on Dr. Health. And a reminder, our show is rebroadcast tonight, 12 hours from the time you're listening to it in the morning, here on the station you're listening to right now.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish this sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Sorry, yogurt. Although you're high in calcium and protein, in the real world of potent probiotics, let's just say you're not that potent. While many consume you thinking they're getting enough probiotic bacteria for good gut health, the fact is, you yogurts can't compete with a medical strength probiotic like Theralac. Plus, you yogurts, well, most of you, have so much sugar and other ingredients that it defeats the purpose of eating you in the first place. So while we'll always be fond of you and other fermented foods, we want to make sure our listeners also take a potent probiotic like Theralac. That's because just one capsule of Theralac is equal to more than 200 cartons of yogurt in the beneficial bacteria that it delivers to the gut. And if your doctor advises you to just eat some yogurt after a course of antibiotics, without a strong probiotic like Theralac, it can take up to 2 years to reestablish your healthy gut flora. Look for Theralac in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store or go to Theralac.com.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, we are clinically proven to improve your health IQ. Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine. And I might add that talk radio is the original social media, long before Fakebook, Instasham, or Twiddle, for those that choose to twiddle their life away on like on social media, or as I call it, anti-social media. And we are getting social with an emergency room doctor today. Dr. Jay Baruch is with us. He's the author of the new book, Tornado of Life. And oh, what a tornado it must be to work in the ER, where he has worked for many years, actually decades, of any hospital or clinic, especially a busy one. And he has the scars and wounds to prove it. Dr. Baruch is a professor of emergency medicine at Brown University's Alpert Medical School and a practicing emergency room physician. And he joins us on our Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Baruch. How the health are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. Are you on a listening device of any kind? Would you mind just holding the phone to your ear? It sounds like you're on a headset or something.
I can do that. Hold on a second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. He's going to switch gears and reduce the static for the rest of the hour, which is a good thing. In the meantime, I have a cartoon in front of me about ERs, and here's a doctor running. There's a emergency room door he's running out of, and then the next door down the hall says escape room. I think that's appropriate for ER docs. Do you ever wish that there was an escape room door down the hall from your emergency room?
Well, we do have an entrance and an exit that is open to all,
no. Oh, a patient escape room as well. Yeah, that's what we need.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. It's I think the space is obviously a very vitally important one, but not without its challenges, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, Dr. Baruch, if I were going to be a doctor and had to pick the hardest, most challenging and stressful branch of medicine there is, I can't think of anything that would top emergency medicine. I mean, it's like working in a war zone, isn't it?
Well, you know, having not operated and worked in a war zone, I can't speak for that. I will say that I think it depends upon like your personality and what moves you and what motivates you. And I feel that people who are in emergency medicine, doctors, you know, nurses, techs, people who work there, I mean, I think they're a pretty special bunch of individuals. And I speak for my, and I'm really speaking for my my admiration for my colleagues who I work with every shift. Is it perfect? No. But part of the imperfection is what draws us to it. Part of the challenges, which is a lot of this, the social challenges, the medical challenges, the complexity of problems that come in through our door, the problems of the community that walk through our door, and they have faces attached to them. Like, that's what draws so much of us to the field. And however, what motivates us and what gives meaning to it is also a source of frustration sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it's a two-edged sword. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the TV show MASH comes to mind, you know, when I mentioned war, for those of us old enough to remember that long-running
right.
television program about a medical team treating the casualties of war. Give us a taste of what it's like to be in an emergency room. And actually, you say in your book that sometimes the biggest challenge is not in just treating the patient's physical ailments, the pain and the bodily injuries, whatever, but also their social and emotional issues, or, you know, be it substance abuse or various non-physical related suffering they're experiencing. So share with us some of the non-physical ER appointments, or not appointments, because it's not, you don't make an appointment for it. You come in for it, but give us some of the rundown or the a few stories, if you would, to illustrate that point.
Yeah, the challenges range from, like, so oftentimes the medical challenges, like the straight out medical challenges, are oftentimes the easiest ones to address. And what's oftentimes most difficult is the fact that they're embedded and complicated by social issues, you know, care issues. Like, families come in thinking, I can't care for my mom or my dad or my grandfather at home anymore because of their needs, and we're incapable of doing that because we have other issues, or even our own health issues, you know, socioeconomic issues, mental health issues, substance use issues, and all of these have. We have to address so many of these things simultaneously. So in addition to sort of evaluating someone for, let's say, a fall, we might be getting social workers and case management people involved, as well to assess their living situation and their capacity at home, and whether we need home health services, whether they need to come to the hospital for social reasons. It gets really complicated. Like, the emotional and what it feels like, I will give you an example. I'll give you and it's going to be a metaphor, and it's not mine. I stole it from an old friend of mine in emergency medicine. And he said that it's like juggling, you know, and you're juggling balls, and you seem to get a handle on it. Then someone sort of gives you some pins. It's okay, now you got balls and pins. And then you're sitting there, and then someone gives you, like, plates, and you try not to crack the plates. And then you say, okay, I got to handle this finally. Then someone gives you, like, knives. And you're doing that, and then someone gives you a flaming torch, and you're holding all those things in the air. And so it's hard not to feel like you're always behind, and like you're always doing everything imperfectly, and you want to do the best thing for your patients and families and the community without dropping a torch.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of people. That's a definition of their life. They're juggling so many things at once that. They have to keep all the balls in the air, so to speak. And I might add that since you mentioned metaphor, let's spell it out, MED-I-PHOR, metaphor, like as in medicine, you know. But anyway, just a little aside there. Now, as you know too well, doctor, doctors are not immune from suffering themselves. Sometimes they have to go to the ER as a patient. And so how have you found doctors to be as patients?
Well, I can't speak for us as a group, but I was a very poor patient. You know, I don't mean in the fact that I was unruly or angry. I just was, like, you know, always in denial about my own medical issues. I write about a heart issue, a heart valve issue, atrial fib, some surgery that I required. And I was in constant denial. And also, I became very aware of sort of the challenges of being in the emergency department and of being in hospitals, and also how busy and how foreign an emergency department can feel if you're a patient, you know. And I wrote in one of my essays that I go, God, how does anybody feel like they can heal in a place like this? Because there was so much activity, there's so much noise, people speaking this language, you're hooked up to all these monitors. And then the question becomes, of course, like, how can we as providers make these big spaces more intimate and more manageable and more comforting for our patients and their families.
Mm. And what is the answer to that? Is the medical profession addressing that at all?
I think we try, right? I think we try. I mean, obviously, some parts of this answer relates to design issues. Some has to do with the fact that the emergency department, like, we're always open, and sometimes crowding is an issue, mm-hmm. and we're trying to make do with the space that we can. We're trying to see as many people as you can so they don't have to wait, but sometimes that means we see them in spaces that are less than optimal, and that's a common challenge throughout the country. So that's, we're trying to balance so many competing needs that sometimes the aim for perfection is kind of hard, and we're trying to at least be good, or at least good enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's at least they're trying to address it. Doc, we need to take a bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about your book, the book title, Tornado of Life. That's an interesting, you have an interesting story about how that title came to be, and I want you to share that with our listeners, as well as let's talk about, we've all heard about patients who go to the ER because they might not have health insurance, or they're homeless, or maybe they just can't afford medical care or have other eligibility issues. What has been your experience there? And then we'll discuss the pandemic. And since you were in the right on the firing lines, the front lines of this battle, how maybe give us a backstory on your experience there on the ER. All right, we will be back with much more information for your good health here on Dr. Health with my guest, Dr. Jay Baruch, author of the new book, hot off the press just days ago, Tornado of Life. Back after this, here on The Healthiest Hour on Radio.
Besides being healthy and feeling good, don't you want to look as good as you feel? Here's a name to remember for professional, affordable skincare: Botanical Rush. Backed by over 20 years of experience in product formulation, Myra Mesko, the founder of Botanical Rush, is the originator of producing clean and effective skincare, infused with powerful actives to support healthy aging and beautiful skin. The founder of Botanical Rush is the originator of producing clean and effective skincare, infused with powerful actives to support healthy aging and beautiful skin, whether it's cleansing, restoring, or hydrating, or replenishing, treating, or protecting. You'll find the clinical strength formula that will be just right for you. So look to the pioneer and leading authority on non-toxic skincare. With never any harsh chemicals or artificial fragrances, and never tested on animals, Botanical Rush, a solar-powered company made in the USA. Look for Botanical Rush in your nearest natural food store or go to botanicalrush.com.
Staying healthy has never been more important. And Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, maker of premier heart and immune health products, is leading the way to better health with a groundbreaking new formula, Kyolic Omega AGE. Kyolic Omega AGE combines the cardiovascular power of Kyolic's best-selling organically grown aged garlic extract with sustainably sourced fish oil and a synergistic blend of the nutrients, vitamins D3, K2, E, and B6, 9, and 12, that have been clinically shown to support heart, bone, and immune health, all in one supplement, providing you with a comprehensive and convenient way to take your health to the next level. So check off all of those individual supplements from your shopping list and get Kyolic Omega AGE for heart, bone, and immune health today. Look for Kyolic Omega AGE at fine natural health retailers near you. Learn more at Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com. Stay healthy. Live better.
Is getting a good night's sleep a challenge? Fortunately, there's a superior fast-acting sleep formula called Tranquil Sleep from Natural Factors. This non-habit-forming supplement contains a unique combination of melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which works in harmony with your body's natural sleep hormones. Tranquil Sleep can help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep sounder, and wake up refreshed, all without feeling drowsy in the morning. The key benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, give Tranquil Sleep a try. You might be surprised with how much better you've slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day. Learn more at naturalfactors.com.
Snow.
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 It is David Snow on your radio. Thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. We are amplifying the information you need to hear your life. Here, where we put more life in your ears so you can put more life in your years. For all the ears and the years of your life. And here to help us do that, Dr. Jay Baruch, author of the new book, Tornado of Life. Doctor, how did you get that book title? You have an interesting backstory on that, I understand.
Yeah. And so years and years ago, I had a patient who was really experiencing like a series of significant tragedies in her life, you know, from some mental health issues, some economic issues, some substance issues, death of loved ones. And, you know, and unlike so many of us who oftentimes are privileged to have a safety net when we hit rough spots, like she had no safety net. And so whenever she was making a step forward, she was taking two steps backward. And she came to the ER for reasons that I write about in the book. And it was hard to get her to talk. And at one point I just sat there and she opened up and she said, I'm stuck in a tornado of life. And it just totally blew my mind. Because it was such a, you know, she was suffering so much. You know, it was so clear that, you know, that what she was going through was so hard to put into words. And yet what she came out with was literally, it was a poetry of tragedy almost. Right. And I realized that that speaks to so many of the challenges that we face in emergency medicine, both as providers and also the fact that so many of us are really a couple of bad breaks away from sort of being stuck in a tornado.
Yeah,
life, you
know? So true. Yeah, right. So how do you see a lot of patients like her, or is she the exception to the rule?
No, it's not uncommon. You know, I mean, obviously everyone's tornado.
Everybody has a different tornado.
Everyone's tornado is different. Right? Yeah. Everyone's life is different.
Right.
But I think that's the challenge. I mean, I think the challenge and what's important is to be curious and to be open to the fact that people, when they come to the emergency department, often they might not seem critically important from the perspective of the staff, but it is to the person. Like, there are no small problems. I mean, it was a big enough problem to bring people to the emergency department, and oftentimes those problems relate to medical issues, sometimes just loneliness, as I write about in the emergency, in my book. Sometimes it's homelessness and not having a place to stay. Yeah, it's multifold.
Okay, now along those lines, as I mentioned before the break, we've all heard of patients who go to the ER because either they're homeless or they don't have health insurance, or maybe they just can't afford it, or, you know, eligibility issues, et cetera. What has been your experience there? Are most people insured or are covered, or what's the?
It's obviously we're the safety net of the healthcare system, right? So we have many people who come in who not necessarily are, who might be uninsured, but we have people who are underinsured. Mm-hmm. Or a growing challenge has been the fact that people actually have physicians or they have clinics and they can't get a timely appointment because our primary care system is overwhelmed. And so they say, listen, I can get in to see you in a week or I can see you 2 weeks, but they have a problem that needs to be addressed like now. Or they get stuck in the system and they call a doctor's office and no one gets back to them because like they're overwhelmed with all these. So everything seems to resort and point back to the emergency department. And then you get people with complex problems who get sent in for complicated workups. And so there's people come to the emergency department for so many different reasons. It's really extraordinary.
And that's where creativity comes in, I understand, too, right? You don't think of creativity when emergency medicine comes to mind, yet there is a creative component in your profession. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want your listeners to think that I'm saying, we've got to make things up as we go along. But there is an element of sort of evidence-based, science-based improvisation that goes on, because oftentimes what patients and families bring in are, sometimes their stories are filled with like a lot of information, and we have to sort of sort through that to find out what's really the relevant ones that pertain to this visit. Sometimes people are not very forthcoming; they're withholding, and what we need to be alert for is actually in the silences. It's also just being open to the people, patients' experiences. Every patient is different. We try to put patients into categories, and we try to make them as much the same as possible, or to put them into recognizable categories. Like they have this problem, or this is their challenge. But everyone is so different, and we have to have the creativity and the curiosity to be able to explore that. Because I think that's what patients mean when they say they don't feel that doctors listen to them or hear them, is that we're actually not trying to understand them and understand what they're experiencing.
So it's not cookbook medicine. It's not formulaic. You have to take each patient as a different total entity. You can't just make all the assumptions that so many medical professionals make in other branches of medicine, right?
Yeah, I quote sort of a narrative scholar in my book, Catherine Montgomery, and just to paraphrase what she said is something to the effect of like the physicians work to perfect the maps of illness, but each patient is uncharted territory.
Yeah.
And I think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. And getting back to insurance, Dr. Baruch, how do you know, or how is your insurance policy like a hospital gown?
Is that a joke?
You're never covered as well as you think you are. It's true, right? I mean, it's a joke, but it's true. Anyway, I thought I'd interject that with the insurance issue that we were talking about.
I'm gonna steal that.
Yeah, please do. No, I stole it somewhere. I forget where. But anyway, now let's get serious for a minute and talk about the pandemic. Now, since you were and still are on the front lines of this battle, give us the backstory, if there is one, and what the general population does not maybe realize that went on behind the scenes or is maybe still going on with regard to treating patients that have COVID or are suffering the after effects of the virus, the so-called long COVID.
Right. I mean, I feel that what we're dealing with now is, the multiple after effects of the pandemic, which I think is still sort of smoldering in there. I mean, COVID hasn't gone away. People are still dying of COVID, and people are still dealing with long COVID. But we're also dealing with a lot of patients who are dealing with challenges that resulted from the pandemic. Other diseases that went unaddressed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The rising number of patients who had some substance use issues and mental health challenges that went unaddressed. And so we're seeing sort of the ripple effect of people who couldn't get the care that they needed for these other challenges, and we're dealing with COVID.
COVID. The perfect storm.
So the COVID problem is the COVID problem, and when we talk about and everything else, which makes it really challenging, because we still haven't, I feel like we still haven't gotten a handle on all the other challenges that people were facing, the surgeries that never happened, the therapies that never happened, the management treatment that never happened because of the challenges during those years, that year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, three things that come right into my mind immediately, depression, the skyrocketing depression, and then suicide rate as well as alcoholism, because people are consuming a lot more of it during the pandemic and still are. Cancer diagnosis that went undiagnosed, on and on. But anyway.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, how shifting gears now to another aspect of emergency medicine, and everybody's experienced the television emergency medicine. Just how accurate are TV medical dramas such as ER? Sometimes I play the ER bumper as bumper music coming in and out of commercial breaks, since it's a health and medical show. But there are many other medical shows either in the past or currently, that depict doctors like yourself in the ER. How accurate are those? Do they actually do research in the real world and in hospitals to get most of their information, or just cherry pick it depending on what's the most dramatic for the TV viewer?
It's really hard for me to sort of make a blanket statement. I find it hard to watch a lot of doctor shows because they just, you know, not because they're not necessarily accurate, but oftentimes it's just a little overly dramatic. And one of the reasons why I wrote this book was because I felt like there were sort of quieter stories, quieter parts of what we do that is not necessarily like the heart thumping, the heavy baseline moments, you know, that people watch television for.
Sure.
That is really what makes it so hard. Mm-hmm. That makes our job so hard. And I feel like that story has not been told as much. And that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book that I did.
Mm, okay.
But there was some good stuff. There's some good stuff out there. And I feel that it's such a, that entertainment is doing so many different things simultaneously. it's hard to beat up on it. But I do feel like there are people out there who are trying to do this responsibly, because people do get a lot of their public health information from television.
Yes, unfortunately or fortunately, yeah. Or, of course, Dr. Google is right there at their fingertips.
that wonderful, dreaded Dr. Google.
Yeah, that's right. Now, let's talk about uncertainty, which I know you cover in your book. We all experience it from time to time. Yet no one wants to seek it out. In fact, many times people will actually choose suffering in a particular situation they're in because it's familiar, and they don't want to risk not knowing what the change may bring, even if there's a chance for improvement in their lives. So can you speak to that, how uncertain your branch of medicine is and with the patients that you deal with?
Yeah, I mean, medicine is fraught with uncertainty. You know, whether it's diagnosis or prognosis, coming up with treatment plans, saying we're going to start with this antibiotic, we don't know whether it's going to work, or you have these symptoms and we don't quite understand what exactly is causing it or what the problem is, but we're gonna think about it in these terms and this is going to be our approach. I think it's really important that we address uncertainty and recognize it in medicine, because I think it leads to better conversations with patients. You know, there have been studies that show that, you know, physicians and healthcare providers who are more comfortable with uncertainty are actually better at actually sharing conversations and having shared decision making with our patients and their families about uncertainty. And I have to tell you that when I talk to patients, you know, and like it's amazing how much they'll accept. Like, then oftentimes they don't necessarily always, obviously, if there's an answer and there's a problem, I got to solve it. Like, I got to get to that. But when there isn't and there are challenges and we're not really certain what the next steps are, but we can address certain things, we just discussing that and being honest and saying, this is what I know, this is what I don't know, this is what I think we should do, this is what my recommendations are, and this is how we can move you along to hopefully you leave the ER in a better place than when you came in. People, I think, are really appreciative of that honesty and the fact that you're caring enough to sort of move things along.
Well, one thing I know for sure, Doctor, is that we need to take one last break of the hour so I can keep asking you more questions. So on that note, we will be back with more information for your good health with Dr. Jay Baruch, and we'll tell you how to get his book, Tornado of Life. By the way, Dr. Baruch, you might want to know that 53% of all statistics are made up. I'll leave you with that when we come back from this brief break. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this here on the Healthiest Hour on Radio.
Since 70% of your immune system is in your gut, don't you think it's time to take a little better care of it? After all, so many things you're doing to it are affecting its function. Not getting enough fiber, eating too much sugar, excess stress and alcohol, as well as that sedentary lifestyle. So maybe it's time for a tune-up. An intestinal tune-up with the Medical Strength Probiotics from Master Supplements. Their signature Theralac, recommended by doctors for more than 15 years, will rapidly colonize your intestinal tract with the specific gut-friendly strains of potent beneficial bacteria. And their patent-protected delivery system has garnered Theralac and their other probiotics with a worldwide reputation for results. There's also Truflora, a unique probiotic and enzyme blend with bio-cleansing effects, and Trubifido, specifically formulated for colon support. See all of the Master Supplements products at your nearest natural food store or go to Theralac.com. Master Supplements, the probiotic pioneers.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Curcumin-rich TheraCurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. TheraCurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, TheraCurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich TheraCurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
Welcome back to your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. It is the cure for the common radio show, and it won't hurt a bit because we are your painless injection of health information. So just bend over so you can get closer to the speakers and listen. One doctor's appointment that you can actually look forward to. And speaking of doctors, we have one on the line, an ER doc, Dr. Jay Baruch, is with us. Talking today about his book, Tornado of Life. Dr. Baruch, how can people get a copy of the book?
They can get it ideally through one of their local bookstores, any independent booksellers, as well as that behemoth Amazon.
Yes, you can. Pretty soon, you can have. You know, you can probably buy babies and houses and cars, and well, I think you can already buy cars there.
And maybe a kidney.
I don't know.
You can get like
but anyway, having said that, now while a patient visiting an ER is not going to be having a clipboard with a checklist of all the best qualities to look for in an ER doc like yourself. They want, you know, they just want relief. They want it, and they want it right now. But do you have a list of maybe attributes that a good ER doc should possess for the patient?
Oh God, you know, I have my idealized list. You know, I think you need to have. You need to care. You need to have compassion. Mm-hmm. I think you need to have. You have to be curious and be willing to really venture, really care about people, and to be curious about what's going on and what their experiences are. I think you have to have some emotional intelligence and some comfort with uncertainty that I talked about. Hopefully, you have some smarts and some ability to use that intelligence, some emotional intelligence. Is always appreciative.
Yes.
I think you need some imagination. You know, just try to think about, you know, not just what is, but what might be and what could be and what might have happened that led patients here, and to really think about stories in a broader sense. And what motivates people. I think you also need to have, as I think what I love about having our conversations, I think you need a good sense of humor. And as well, to sort of recognize that I think that's part of being human, an element of being able to sort of like connect with people, and sometimes connecting through humor is a great way.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And, you know,
nobody wants to think about having to go to the ER, but accidents and disease and basically life happens. So,
life happens.
What can you give us as far as guidance on how to have maybe a, is there such a thing as a good experience if you, if a person never needs to go to the ER?
I would hope that people always have a good experience, but we know that it's complex, it's hard, and I feel that that one of the most pivotal parts about the experience is actually being able to sort of be able to share your concerns and mm-hmm. to make certain that the care team knows the challenges that you're facing and the problems you're facing and the range of your needs, and even have to always have somebody with you. You know, whether it's a family member or a caregiver or
an advocate
who can say, "Oh, hey, mom, remember you talking with your homie about this?" Oh, yeah, okay, I remember that. Just someone who's there, you know, because sometimes it's hard to tell about your own vulnerabilities and your own challenges, and also that person can hear what the doctor is saying or what the care team is saying, and they can ask questions. And when they give instructions, they can listen to that. And you have someone else who's listening in. So having another set of eyes and ears with you, I find, is always helpful. And that was one of the challenges with the pandemic, right? Because a lot of times we couldn't have family members in the ER.
That's right.
So we would make phone calls, but all the times that was a very, you know, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. It's better than nothing, but it was just a different dynamic than actually having a caregiver with patients.
Okay, yeah. Now, tell us, speaking of vulnerability, tell our audience the story of Fawn, who was the patient who asked you for a hug. And we only have a few minutes, and I have seven more questions, but let's talk about Fawn for a minute, if we could.
Yeah. So Fawn was a patient who basically asked for a hug. She was someone who didn't have stable housing. She was on the street. She was acting out on the street. She was substance user, and she was making a scene. They brought her in, and as soon as I walked in, she goes, she wanted a hug. And so I felt like, you know, what is a hug? Is a hug a, it's not, it's more than just a medical treatment. It's something about how we all connect with. It says something about us and about when we ask for a hug and whether we decide to hug somebody. And I did, I hugged her. And so the piece is basically me trying to break down the reasoning why I hugged her, why I could not have hugged her, and then wondering whether I did the right thing by hugging her.
Mm, interesting. Now, besides healthcare professionals, speaking of hugging, family members, you always think of your significant others or family members hugging each other. But we sometimes forget that a family member or a friend or a significant other is sometimes suddenly thrown into the position of being a caregiver. Yet, I don't know of any degree that you can earn, you know, other than medical professional degrees. But, you know, there's no CCG, certified caregiver, as an instant course that people have to take to be one. And so give us your insight on this experience that everybody or many people have to go through, millions of people with their loved ones, significant others and other people, even though it's not specifically an ER question.
You're so right. I'll just add that I think sometimes it becomes an ER issue because, as I wrote in the book, in a particular situation, we had someone who was brought to the ER. Her mom had some medical issues. She had some dementia and a bunch of chronic stuff that was going on. But I realized that the person who was most stressed and seemed to be most in need was actually her daughter, who was the caregiver.
Oh.
And sometimes what we need to do is we need to be alert to the challenges that our patients' caregivers are going through, because there is literature that shows that, you know, there's higher rates of depression. There's sometimes higher ER use when caregivers have their own medical needs that go unaddressed. It is so complicated, but to be a caregiver is to be a 24/7 job, and they're doing so many, many different things for patients, and it's going to be a source of stress. And also, we can't forget that, like, a majority of our caregivers are women too.
Right.
Right. I mean, there are nurturers and caregivers and people who we, and so, you know, we have to do a better job of caring for our caregivers. And oftentimes I feel like part of what I have to do is give, is try to look out for their needs.
Doc, I hate to stop you, but we're out of time. Can you give us your the title of your book and how to get it one more time, please?
Sure. It's called Tornado of Life, A Doctor's Journey Through Constraints and Creativity in the ER. And you can get it at your local bookstore or online, independent bookseller. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Jay Baruch, for being there. And join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the program. Until then, I'm David Snow reminding you, it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.